Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Royalty Room. Today, we're going to be talking about mental health per usual, but we have a special guest and we have a lot of fun things in store. And she is a godsend. So we'll be talking about the big man upstairs as well. Everybody, welcome AC Forever to the show. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Honestly, we've been talking about this. So a little backstory, AC and my artist that I manage, Air the Prophecy, they both have a record together called Wholehearted. And it was
favorite.
Yes, one of my favorite songs by Air, because it's just such a bigger picture song.
Yes,
it can apply to LA, it can apply to the nation, it can apply to the world.
For sure
The Hearts Are Bleeding,
yeah.
And so at the release party for the album Comes With Envy last May is when I met AC Forever, and she performed. And we've been talking about doing this episode for a long time, so I'm excited that we're finally here.
Oh, me too. I'm so happy.
So tell us a little bit about what you do, where you're coming from, how you got into music, and also how you ended up in LA, Miss East Coast.
Okay, so I'm originally from Maryland. I grew up in the church. So I always been like a singer. My mom's a singer. My uncle's a singer. Like, I had just a family and background of singing. I pretty much came to the East Coast. I mean, not the East Coast, the West Coast, because I got married. My wife, I slid in her DMs.
Oh, and, we love a woman who take initiative.
Okay. And I didn't really know what to say. So I sent her a sunflower. And from there, it just was a vibe. And so, you know.
Did you meet back home?
No.
Oh, okay.
She was already here.
California. Oh, okay.
Right? And so I let it be known, like, I'm not about to be nobody's girlfriend. If you want to be with me, you have to marry me.
Ooh.
And so.
I'm gonna try that next time.
That's what she did. She flew all the way to Maryland. She proposed to me on my birthday in front of all of my friends and my family and hers, and moved me to California.
Wow.
And then she was like, you know, I see that you do music, I see that you do poetry, I think that you should do it here, like,
yeah,
the perfect place. And so I just I did it, and I was a little bit scared because previously, before I started really doing, like, diving deep into the music, I had worked with someone, and everything was so good, it was time to get ready to mix and master the song, and he just ghosted. So it was just like, it kind of like put me
that's
in a
worse
place.
Than a relationship goes,
literally, because I was already scared to do it, and the fact that you just went and just took the music and
bad everything. Experiences can ruin music for anybody. I had a horrible experience. I was actually recording music, like, in COVID and stuff, and then a year later I had a really, really, really horrible experience. They ruined my song that, like, meant so much to me, and, like, after that, I didn't make music for 2 years. I'm not an artist. Don't call me that.
No, but I get it.
Like you. But it's just like, it's so personal. Music is such a, like, a personal tool.
And it's a way to release.
Yeah.
And the song was super, it was super, like how you said, like, it meant a lot to me. One, it was about self-love, because that was something that I was growing in, like, having self-love for myself. And so, like, the fact that I made the whole song and everything, and it was just being prepared to be mixed and mastered, and then all of a sudden,
just never heard back.
Like, I'm texting him, no response.
That's crazy.
Was just like, at this point.
And mine was about not self-love, it was about love. But see, that's the problem. We'll get into that one. Did you ever end up getting the song finished?
No.
Damn.
So I chalked it up. But it's still something that I, you know, keep to myself. It was really a good song. And it's something that I just use to remind me to have self-love for myself.
I love that. Oh, damn. So, I wish you would have sent it to me and we could have played it here.
Oh.
As a sneaky peek.
Yes.
So, one, congratulations on getting married.
Thank you.
When did you move to LA?
I moved, like, 2021.
Okay. So you've been here a little bit now.
Yes.
Once I crossed like the 5-year threshold, I was like, yeah, you're just from here now. So you almost about to be there too. That's awesome.
Yes.
And as far as like music now, have you had a good experience since you moved to LA?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Oh, that that was such an opposite response.
I've been doing, like, I feel like my passion picked up.
Good.
Here. Like,
I love that.
When I said I was going to do music, I always wanted to be on a Floor Tree type of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that back from the 90s. Because I'm a 90s baby.
That is very, like, that is, it gives you.
It gives me, yes. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to do. And so I was doing a lot of my poetry before I met my wife. That was what I was doing. I was doing a lot of poetry, a lot of poetry. But I always was like, I want to incorporate my poetry and my music together, like my singing. And so since I've been here, I've been doing that, like doing both. And it's just, it fills me up. It fills me up to know that I'm doing what I dreamed about. Wow. I'm making dreams reality.
I love that.
Yeah.
So your cup is full from music.
Yes. My God, it's so full.
So I kind of just want to dive straight into the record.
Okay.
When did Granddad drop?
Granddad dropped in December, I think December 27th.
Okay.
Like a couple of days after Christmas.
Okay.
And my granddad was my everything. He was actually my great-grandfather.
Oh, wow.
So he was my mom's granddad. But he raised me when I was probably like from a couple of months, probably like 8 months to like 5.
Wow.
So he played a heavy role in my life. Before he passed, because he passed in February of 2022, I think.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. He was in the nursing home because he had dementia.
Okay.
So it was like really hard, and COVID had hit, so I wasn't really able to go and see him, and it was very, very difficult for me because, like, that was my everything.
Yeah.
And so I seen him one time before he passed, and I was nervous. I was like, well, because it was COVID, I was scared that they weren't going to let us, you know, see him or whatever. But they let me, and I was nervous because I was like, what if he don't remember me? You know, and as soon as I was just like, hey, Granddad, you know who I am? He immediately said, Angie. Aww. And it just, like, immediately just hit me, like,
that's different.
Falling.
That is,
you
different.
Know?
Yeah.
Yes, because it made me realize my impact that he had on me, it was the same. You know, like, it wasn't just like, oh, he impacted me. He felt the same way I felt for him. Yeah. And that felt so good to have somebody reciprocate energy.
Wow.
You know, to have the same love being exchanged.
Yeah. I love that, you know? So much. I feel the same way. Like, grandparents, for me, my parents had me when they were 16.
Yes.
So my grandparents were essentially, like, more like my parents.
Exactly.
For most of my life.
Yes.
And at one point, in the height of everybody being alive, I had probably 11 or 12 living grandparents at one time. Like, my mom's parents divorced and got remarried, and they were together since I was born. So I have two sets right there, and then their parents, and then my dad's parents and their parents. So, like, I've been very blessed.
Yes, that's so fortunate.
Yes. And my grandfather, also one of my grandfathers raised my sister, grandparents. Yes. And then the other set, while my dad was finishing up college, raised me. So my grandfathers were like father figures to me. And I can, like,
you definitely get it.
Yes. And one of them, he passed away December 27th when I was in fourth grade.
Mm.
And, like, just to think about, like, seeing old videos and stuff, it hurts me because I can't remember as much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then in COVID, my grandfather that raised my sister also passed away. Mm. And it's crazy because that one was 4 years, almost to the day. It was a day apart from when his mom passed away, my great grandma. Oh,
wow.
And she was like granddad for you. She was my girl. Like that was my shorty, like my real grandma, even though she was my great grandma. Everybody's so young. Like, and at the end, she did not have like dementia or anything, but of course she was like, couldn't really
remember a lot,
remember much, figure out much, but she was 91 years old, 2 weeks away from being 92. Yes. And no matter who walked in the room or who called, she would know us by voice.
Yes.
Like, she'd be like, oh, Ashley. Yeah. Hi, sweetheart. You know? And that is just like such a special feeling. Like I don't think I could compare anything to that. So when I listened to this record, like it really meant a lot to me. So I would like to, if it's okay, share it with people.
Share it.
Thanks, all. If y'all cry, it's okay.
Yes, we got. I cry every time I hear it. I'm gonna do my hardest not to cry, but it's just like it resonates so heavy.
He look real smooth too.
I got an older picture of him.
Granddad, what's such comfort in your name? I really think about you every day. You're the person that always showed me the way. Granddad, my peace, my strength. You made life better on any given day. Your soul made a lasting impression. It built me up with grace. Wish I could rest my head on your shoulder while you kiss my forehead real sweet and say I love you, Shug. You're my best friend, forever my main man. Your love is within me. More than a grandparent, a parent, a dad, you planted a seed of knowledge and love that will grow in me for eternity. Unconditional love, you embodied that to me. You were the definition of find the peace of mind within me. My safe place. Here or not, I will always love you more, cause you're the piece of me. Granddad, I will always remember you. I hope you remember me. I love you, and that will forever be.
So good. So good. I literally, when I heard it the first time, I was tearing up too.
Oh my God. I cry every single time. Because, like, my granddad literally was my everything. He was my dad. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't just a grandparent to me. He really was a dad, you know. And he showed up in so many ways. He showed me what unconditional love looked like because I didn't have, my mom wasn't always in my life as much as I would have liked her to, you know. And the rift between my dad and stuff like that. So, to have a person to embody not just being a grandparent, but a mom, a dad, a best friend.
Everything.
Yeah, just wrapped up in a bow. And so, like, losing him, just it really took a toll on me. But now I'm inspired and everything is dedicated to him. So I made this song specifically because I wanted his memory to stay alive.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm a part of him.
You did. You know? You did really, really well at achieving that goal.
Thank you.
And I feel like everybody can relate.
Yes.
It may not be a granddad. It may be an uncle, auntie, or whoever, but they have that one special person in their life.
Exactly.
And this made me think of also my auntie, who helped my dad like through college because he was so young. I lived with her in those years that you lived with your granddad.
Yeah.
And she essentially saved both of our lives by helping us through that time.
Yeah.
But now, fast forward, you know, 20, 25 years later, we don't really know each other. So I was thinking recently, like when I was in law school, I had custody of my baby sister. Like that's like, my baby. And it was those same years. Yeah. And now that she doesn't live with me anymore, like, I don't ever want it to get to, like, where I'm her auntie that she doesn't remember or we don't have that bond anymore.
Yeah.
And it's really nice that even though you didn't live with him your whole life, you had exactly.
Okay.
You locked in.
Locked in.
I love it. So you mentioned life coaching.
Yes.
Also, can you talk to me about that? Like, are you like actively?
Yes. Okay. So I went to therapy when I was in like middle school.
Amen.
In probably like seventh grade. I dealt with a lot of like mental health. Like my mental health was bad, very suicidal. I used to be a cutter and stuff. So when I got to therapy, the first day, you know, we were talking. And with therapists, they know what to ask you. You know, they know what to say to, you know, just unlock whatever that's been pent up.
Right.
And so she did that. And I just broke. I just cried my eyes out. And for my my father and my stepmother, they were just like shocked. Like, she's crying, you know, like, because that's not what I gave off or whatever. And it was because I was just carrying so much inside. But that day I was like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know? And so I end up going to school to be a therapist, taking psychology classes and stuff like that. I end up not finishing because of financial reasons, but then I found out about life coaching. Right. And essentially it's similar. It's not exactly the same, but I'm able to help people. Mm-hmm. I'm able to give conversation. I'm able to give people a shoulder, you know, to cry on. I'm able to give somebody just a space, you know, to be able to be vulnerable. And I was just like, this is something that I want to do.
Wow.
You know? And so I incorporated my life coaching with, and I have an empowerment support group for women of color.
Wow.
That I do on Zoom on Thursdays. Every Thursday and Sunday of each month, where it's a space where we can just be vulnerable, help and pour into each other. Because I'm really about unity and empowerment and togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really, I feel like we're better together. We're better together.
You are, like, literally, you're so adorable. And it's funny because I'm going to call Saul out right now. As soon as she walked in the building, what did you say? What was the word you used?
I think I said her face. It just inspires you.
It gives
you hope.
Exactly. It's uplifting. Like, yes. Just your aura, your face, your energy, your smile. Like, it's contagious. So I feel like that's a really good job.
Yes.
For you. You know, what exactly, because I've always wondered this. I've heard of like a personal life coach and things like that. But what exactly, like, how would you describe what a life coach is? I know you say like what you're able to do, but
it is basically being able to pick up those cues,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in conversation, because sometimes people don't know how to flat out say what is happening for them.
Right.
Right. What hear what they're not saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And also just giving them room to even be quiet. Sometimes we need silence.
Yeah.
You know, because I know for me, my mind is always busy. It's mm-hmm. going a mile a minute, right? And to in that silent moment, you get to, you know, take that breath, because it's important that we breathe. And you realize after that breath, you're able to release whatever it is that's bothering you. And I'm able to pick up not only on what you're saying, but what you're not saying.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? So,
is it like, are you mostly, do you have like meetings or sessions in person or Zoom?
I can do in person.
Mm.
We can do Zoom. We can do phone call, whatever you're comfortable
with. Yeah.
You know, some people aren't comfortable with face-to-face. Some people aren't comfortable being on video chat. Some people are just comfortable with talking on the phone. Whatever your comfortability is, that's what I cater to.
Okay.
Right? And the life coaching, depending on what you need sometimes, because I'm also an empathetic listener. So I'm also here just to listen. Sometimes people don't want advice.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't know how to do that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's important to be able to do both, be able to give advice when needed, and to be able to also listen.
Yeah.
You know?
I caught myself yesterday because whenever... All my life, I had to fight. People come to me to solve their problems. Yeah. Like, that's why I'm a lawyer. That's why I'm a manager. That's why I'm the biggest, oldest sister. That's why, you know, I take care of the family. But I've started, and I caught myself yesterday, taking a pause from immediately trying to solve whatever's being thrown at me and trying to tell you what you need to do.
Yeah.
And I was on the phone with my best friend, and he was going through kind of a situation, and I was just like, what do you need from me right now? Do you want me to listen to you vent? Do you want me to give you advice and tell you what I think you should do? Yeah. Or do you want me to talk shit with you? Like, which option? Or is there something else?
Yeah.
Do you just want to, I don't know. And he didn't even know how to answer the question because people don't
exactly
give people the option.
Exactly.
He was just like, I'm not sure. No, you know, no one's ever asked me that before. Because sometimes when people call me and I'm going through something, I don't want you to tell me, well, how it worked out for you. I don't want you to tell me sometimes like, oh, you need to do this, this, and this. Sometimes I literally just want to cry and then like get off the phone.
Exactly.
So it's, I think people should really start like taking a breath before you like unload in response to somebody who's trying to, you know, ask you for help or be there with you.
The biggest thing that I learned in my life so far at 30, going on 31, is asking the person if they can hold space for you. Are you even available for me to even tell speak you about story. What I'm going through? You know, because I may have so much stuff going on with me, and then you're calling me to dump your stuff,
and now you're snap away.
Exactly. Crashing out. Yes. Okay.
We are not crashing out in 2025. No. We're not crashing out anymore. Yes. We're done.
Yes. So asking, making sure that you ask, are you able to even hear what I got going on right now? If not, thank you for letting me know.
God, I wish someone would do that to me.
It just takes asking because my cup may not be even available for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mine is often empty.
Exactly. I
operate on
each. This year, 2025, I need somebody pouring into me like I'm pouring into them. It's no one-way street no more. Like, if you ain't pouring into me, I don't have time.
Yeah. I have. I do want to say, obviously, I have a lot of friends and family that watch the show. I do want to say I also, just like I was blessed with many and great grandparents, I've also been blessed with really great friendships in my life. I may lack a lot of other things.
Yes.
Like I may have parenting issues or mental health issues, but I have a lot of great people.
Yes.
And it's becoming more and more apparent the older I get how many people there are that do love me.
Yes.
And sometimes when you're in the depths of the darkness, you forget that.
Yep.
And sometimes I do want to be alone. Sometimes I don't want to talk to anybody. But to know that I have someone that I can call who can just say, I love you, I hear you, is more important than anything else.
Literally.
And I think, especially in LA right now with everything we're going through, I'm not entirely sure what day this episode's going to drop. But if you guys hadn't heard, the entire city went up in flames recently. And I feel like everything we've just talked about will be really helpful for everyone in our city.
Yes.
Because we're not okay.
We're not.
And it's okay not to be okay, but you have to remember, like, you're not okay. I'm not okay. She's not okay. He's not okay. We're all going through it.
Yeah.
But remember that other people are relating to that. You're not going through it alone. And you have someone to call on.
Exactly.
Because once you forget that, the spiral is inevitable.
Know that what you said, just knowing that you're not alone is the biggest thing that I think I struggled with just growing up in general with my mental health.
Yeah.
you know, feeling like I'm by myself, nobody gets it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you meet people and they remind you, you're not alone. I experienced that.
You're just like, wait, what?
What? You went through
I'm not a unicorn?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I don't know, like, if you have this similar experience or outlook, but the older generation, like, any of them don't understand the same, like, level of openness and vulnerability and mental health.
Yeah.
Even just mental health existing as a thing.
Exactly.
It's really nice, the progress that we're making. And I want to thank you personally for being a part of the solution in helping people.
Yes.
Because we need more of that. Yeah. We need more of that.
I'm just a vessel.
Yeah.
You know, God just put.
I was just gonna bring my God, my Lord and Savior.
Yes.
So you said you grew up in the church. That's where you got started in music.
Yes.
And honestly, I feel like probably the first conversations we had were based around God.
Yeah. Most of my music is really talking about my relationship with God. I think in my time of going through it and dealing with my mental health and things like that, I felt like church wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. The pastor wasn't enough. It was that time that I needed to surrender to God, to spend time with God alone on my own, mm-hmm. right? And that is how I developed a relationship, right? I would write down my prayers in my journal. I would spend hours at a time just on my knees crying and thanking God for even waking me up because of the times that I wanted to be gone.
Yep.
You know, thanking him for the chances that he gave me and the grace, you know, even when it seemed like things was just not going to get better. And I think over time, it just got better. Our relationship just got better and better and better. And I just always relied on him for clarity when I was confused, when things didn't make any sense, when I felt alone. I knew that God, if anybody else wasn't there, I knew God was there.
Forsake you.
Exactly. Amen. And he was opening doors that I just thought like, oh, my God, I didn't know this was for me.
What advice would you give to people in LA rebuilding the city? What advice would you give to us about keeping faith in God throughout everything that's going on? Because I feel like a lot of people, even myself, it really hit me.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, he's not there right now.
Right.
I can't hear him. I can't, you know, how do we get closer in these times?
I feel like in these times is the biggest time to have the faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is just the test. Are you prepared for what I have for you? Because right now, you know, things are all shaky, but just know that there is something so much better on the other side. You know, everything is for a reason in a season. And obviously God already has a purpose for what's going to be next,
mm-hmm.
you know, and trust and believe your faith will forever be tested. It will forever be tested. And the enemy will always slither his way in there to see what you can take.
Right.
Right. But don't bend and don't fold, because God has so much greater things prepared for you already. Like this was already aligned.
Mm-hmm. And the devil only needs one tiny crack.
Exactly. To slide his way in.
Like a snake.
Okay. To slide his way in and take control.
And take everything. Yeah. I go to Oasis Church in K-Town, and the last message before the fires started was about the dream has already been there, your dream, whatever dream it is already there, and God already has the solution, but the devil also knows the dream, and he can also give you the things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take it from him, or if you take your own path, It's never gonna end, for lack of better terms.
Literally,
that wrath, because the devil sees exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. He sees exactly how to give it to you. He sees everything. Like even with Adam and Eve, they wanted the knowledge.
Yeah.
So he was like, "Oh, here it is," but God already had it and bigger,
exactly,
and better, because you could never know how big His vision is.
Exactly.
You know. Exactly. But speaking of the next vision, we're dropping another record.
Yes.
Okay, tell us about this one.
My next record will be dropping January 31st, and this is Daddy Issues.
Mm-hmm.
We all have them.
Show do. Show do. I love you, Daddy.
But even if it's not like something super severe or anything, even if your dad didn't show up for you when you had a recital or whatever, whatever, that still impacted you in some way. So I decided to make a song to share how I felt about the things that I dealt with when it came to my dad. Also ending with just forgiving.
That's a big...
Just forgiving. Just, I mean, at the end of the day, why harbor bitterness in my heart when it's not going to take me anywhere?
Yeah.
You know, I forgive you, I let go, and I want you to live your best life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And wish you well. So this is the song dedicated to all the women, all the men that deal with daddy issues and felt like your dad wasn't there. He wasn't present enough. He didn't show up for you, but not to hold it against him.
Right.
You know, because he was growing. He was evolving. He didn't know. And forgiving and letting it go.
Yeah. I think I had another episode called Mommy Issues, and we talked a lot about forgiveness on that side.
Yeah.
But my dad raised me by himself.
Yeah.
And he was only... if I'm 30 and I'm him, I would have had a 13-year-old child walking around under me right now. And I don't think I really understood the gravity of him and our dynamic and what we went through and everything until probably about 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm at the age where it's just like, oh my God, if I had one of me...
Mm.
As at this age right now today,
yeah.
Oh, I probably would have done it way worse.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would have done it so much worse, because it's like I got so much to sort out up here.
Right, right, right.
Like everything we've just talked about, the mental health, the family, the friends, the natural disasters,
right.
Life. Like, yeah, I get it, probably 30 years ago, life was maybe a little bit simpler than it is today. But like, to get to that point and be able to put yourself in your parents' shoes, whether it's mom or dad, and understand what they were going through at the time that they were raising us, it put things into perspective in order for me to be able to forgive.
Exactly.
And now I'm just like, Dad, what are you doing? I miss you.
Yeah.
I want to hang out.
Yeah.
You're my friend. So that's really nice. I'm excited for the drop. Probably by the time that you guys are seeing this, the song is going to be out.
Yes.
So make sure you stream Granddad, stream Daddy Issues, and hopefully it puts everybody on a journey towards loving and forgiving your parents.
Yes.
And cherishing the grandparents that are here.
Yes.
And remembering the ones that aren't. You know, because mine. Even though time goes on and the memories start to fade a little bit, like, we're not letting that happen. They gonna live through us. Yes. And I think you've done a really good job at honoring like yourself as a growing woman, especially in the music industry, which that could be a whole nother episode, which I probably but also honoring your family and like where you came from. So I'm really proud of you in taking the step from anywhere to come to LA is already a huge thing. But You stood on business and said, you gonna marry me or you not gonna see me.
Yes.
You stood on business and said, I'm gonna move to LA and I'm gonna be an artist.
Yep.
You stood on business saying granddad is not getting forgotten.
Yes.
And you stand on business because you wanna do that for everybody else.
Yes.
Are you taking clients right
yes,
now?
Yes, I am. I am open. You can either DM me because I also have a She Is Me Instagram. You can email me. It's sheismeempowerment@gmail.com. And I can help you out. I'm here for you.
I love that so much. So every Thursday you do the Zoom?
Thursday, every first Thursday and Sunday of every month.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, thank you again for coming, Miss AC Forever. Make sure you follow her on all platforms. Make sure you follow me on all platforms. We're at Legal Queen LA on everything for the Royalty Room podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, sign up for her life coaching, stream the records, and also stop by on those empowerment Zooms. Because I would love to have a group of women who aren't tearing each other down. Because while dealing in the music industry, it's very easy to fall into that pitted against each other trap. So I'm excited to join one of your Zooms as well. And see how that goes. So thank you guys for watching another episode of The Royalty Room. We'll be back again soon and comment, let us know what you want to talk about next.